been taking a little longer than I had anticipated. And today we're going to talk about a related topic, continuing within the thought of Ramban. And we're going to talk about the reason for suffering. Now, this is, in one sense, a continuation of the previous topics, because Ramban told us about Hashgacha, in which he discussed the question of why a person would suffer and experience pain and the like, and what is the purpose of that. But specifically, what we're going to look at today is why a person might suffer, or if a person would ever suffer, not because of a particular sin that he may have committed. So we discussed certain possibilities relating to this last time. For example, we considered the role of teva in the thought of Ramban, in which case a person might suffer due to teva, and whether or not that exists. We considered the idea of hashgacha klali, and that sometimes a person might get caught up in that. And today, we're first focus on Yisurin Shel Ava, and then primarily we're going to be discussing Ramban's great secret. We'll see if we figure out what it is. The primary text we're going to work on is from the Taras Adam, the Shar Gemul. Taras Adam is Ramban's halacha sefer on Vaz Vavelos, but there's a section called Shar Gemul in which he deals with, at the very end, he deals with a lot of the machshava aspects, including general discussion of divine justice and hashkacha and the Book of Iyov and the like. And we're gonna work on that. So, as I mentioned, we're going to begin with the Yisurin Shel Ava and the top right of the sheets that you got today. So, if you remember, the Gemara, we saw this a couple of weeks ago in Brachos, that referred to Yisurin Shel Ava. Can you pass one up here? Somebody didn't get. So, the Gemara in Brachos said, I guess we'll just start, Vod matzinu sha'amru rabosenu im roa adam shisurin bayin alav yifashvesh b'maisav shenemar nach besad rachenu v'nach kore. A person experiences yisurin, so the first thing he should do is examine his ways. In other words, presumably the yisurin are coming because of his behavior, and therefore the appropriate response would be tshuva. We discussed how, even according to the Rambam, this is the case a couple of weeks ago. Pishpesh velo matzah. This is hard to imagine. But if somebody goes ahead and examines their deeds and they find that they have not done any aveiros, so then yitla bevitel Torah. He should attribute it to bitel Torah. Now, what does that mean? Isn't bitel Torah an aveira? So, we'll see in a moment, the Ramban explains that what this means is the following. If a person has not found any particular sin of which he is guilty, he should attribute his suffering due to his failure to fulfill his potential. And failure to do mitzvos aseh in general. And the ultimate expression of that is Talmud Torah. And therefore, he should attribute it to Bittel Torah. A lot of times when doing tshuva, we focus too much on the negative, on Averos. What Averos have we done? And what this Gemara is telling us is we also have to take into account whether or not we have fulfilled our potential, whether we have used the kelim, the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, to in the best possible way. Tala v'lo matzah. Wow. So, not only has he done nothing wrong, as far as he could tell, he has fully utilized his potential, not even bitul Torah. So then, b'yadua sh'yisurin shel avahein, sh'nemar, ki es asher yahav Hashem yochiach. Now, what does it mean, Yisurin Shel Ava? So Rashi over there in that Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu miyasro ba'olam hazeh b'lo shum abon k'day laharbo scharo ba'olam haba yoser mechdei zchu yosef. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes him in this world so as to allow for him to have more schar in olam haba. We saw that the Rambam several weeks ago, Nemor Nevuchim, also understands Yisurin Shel Ahava in this way. In other words, Yisurin that are a sign of Ahava. What does that mean? I give a gift, as it were, to someone I love. Kadosh Baruch Hu sends these Yisurin to someone he loves to increase their schar. And the Rambam rejected it because he thought it made no sense. Why would a Kadosh Baruch Hu torture a person just to give them more schar? And why would you get more schar just because you're tortured? It's true, justice would dictate you'd get more schar, especially if you take a more naturalistic conception of Olam Haba, as Rambam does. It simply doesn't make any sense. It's not just and the like. The Rambam acknowledges that this idea of Yisurin Shel Ahava is in fact an opinion in Chazal, but he thinks it's not the primary opinion. It contradicts Psukim and the like. The Rashi, interestingly enough, on Amud Beis, on Hamud Beis in Brachos, gives a slightly different definition. He adds, when discussing Yisurin Shel Ahava, Dehava Lubanu Mesu, Shavelos Mechaperis. There he's al Avonosav. He adds that Yisurin Shel Ahava is in fact a kapar for Avonos, which might be closer to what Ramban says. The common denominator is that Yisurin Shel Ahava for the person's good, but Rashi's view is not so clear. Either way, the Ramban, as we'll see in a moment, is going to reject Rashi and Rambam's explanation and offer an alternative. Amar Rabba, Amar Rav, Schora, Amar Rav, Huna, Ko, Shekadosh Baruch Hu, Chafetz, Bo, Midka'o, Bisurin, Shenemar, Va, Hashem, Chafetz, Deko, HaChali. It's a famous imagery of the suffering servant in Yeshayahu. So Hashem causes those who he loves to suffer. Lamanu mehem zal shiyisurin ban tchila amayis v'arayim shel adam. Initially, you should assume that yisurin are due to a person's maisim harayim. That's the presumption. V'hein averosh lo tasei shadin no sin shiyana shalem. Lefikach shirar shiyisurin ban alav roi lo lefashish maisim lachzada metshuva. V'zeo shamer nachos adrachinu nachor neshuel Hashem. Upamim shiyisurin ban al bitol Torah. V'chein kiyotze baha v'zeh. Behein bitule mitzvah saseh, kemo she'amar av ketina, lamach she'nizgala lo v'chi anshisu a'aseh, v'amar lei be'idan rischa anshinan. The Gemara Nachos implies that be'idan rischa, a person might suffer for failure to perform an aseh. Maybe, according to some Rishonim, that means even, not just a standard bitul aseh, meaning say I was chayv in a mitzvah aseh, which I failed to do, but even like a failure to wear tzitzis, to be mechayev yourself in the mitzvah sasei when it could have been chayev in the mitzvah sasei, even then, according to some Rishonim, bidan rischa and shinan, lefikach. Mi shebo alav yisurin, ufish fish be'atzma, v'lo matza b'yado aveira v'cheit, sheyesh bo yediyah b'tchilu v'sof, yitla yisurin b'vitulei mitzvah sasei, she'enu mizdareiz b'hen laso sosan kara'uay, ela misatzel b'asiyasan uv'kiyuman, aval, Mishu tzadik gamor, v'ein biyadu averus v'lo bitulei mitzvos, ein yisurin ela yisurin shel ahava, v'ein kederach yisurin shepirashnu lemala, litein lo scharo mishalem l'olam haba. So he agrees that the purpose of yisurin shel ahava is to give a person scharo mishalem b'olam haba, but it's not, like Rashi claims, that the pain in and of itself is somehow going to be the basis for schar, but rather he gives a different explanation. V'lama nikro yisurin shel ahava, v'lo yisurin shepirashnu yisurin shel onshenein, al miut aver shasa. That the truth is that even yisurin shel ahava are an onesh for averos that he did. And the Ramban gives two possible explanations as to what yisurin shel ahava are. Now remember, the Gemara didn't say that yisurin shel ahava come if a person has done no averos. What did the Gemara say? The Gemara says Yisurin Shel Ahava are when you can find no averos. A person who has examined their deeds and seen, and as far as they could tell, did no averos. They weren't even mevata l'ni mitzvah saseh. So then you should assume they're Yisurin Shel Ahava. What's the idea? So Ramban first says because there were actually things that he might have done wrong that he's unaware of. Now, clearly, he didn't do these averos maliciously or with intention or the like. He's mamish a tzaddik gamor. But even a person who is always trying to do what's right might occasionally slip. Kigon shein boyin al shigigas maisa val helem davar. They were b'shogeg. They came through unawareness. Ketzad harei shachol chelav b'shogeg v'lo nikra chote shekin karasa atar b'chol makom. So, for example, a person ate chelev b'shogeg. So he notes that the Torah refers to someone who does an avera b'shogeg as a chote. For example, what is the consequence of eating chelev b'shogeg? You bring a karban chatas. There's a chet. Umahu cheto. What is his chet? This fellow certainly did not intend to do anything wrong. Shelo nizhar be'atzmo v'lo haya yarei v'chared al divrei hamakom baruchu. Shelo yocha v'lo yase davar ad sheyivdok yafe yafe v'yizgalelo hadavar shuhumoter v'roilo lefig zeirosa shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person who has an appropriate level of Yerushamayim will be very, very careful to make sure that everything he does is right and that he doesn't accidentally ingest something that's usher. And a person who commits an avera, let's say they eat something unkosher, so even though they did not intend to do anything wrong, but there is some level of negligence. Had they had more Yerushamayim, had they been more careful, then this would not have happened. And that is a form of chet, and therefore they need kapara. And that's what the purpose of Yisurin is. And the Ramban explains that this is the purpose of a karban. And in the absence of karbanos, so then all that there is to achieve that atonement is Yisurin. Let's explain a little bit. What is the purpose of a korban chatas? So the Ramban, take a look, famously at the beginning of Vayikra, discusses it. He gives a reason al pi pshat that the experience of bringing the karban causes a person to be aware of the gravity of their sin and cause them to repent. Again, though, almost all karbanos on chet, certainly karban chatas, are brought for an avera b'shogeg. In other words, the purpose of the karban is not to achieve atonement for the avarian, the person who was over b'mezit. Karban doesn't help for that. What is the purpose of the karban chatas? The karban chatas is because when a person has done an avera, at first he's going to give an alternative in a minute, but due to a degree of negligence, could have been more careful, so therefore he needs a kapara. But at the same time, since he didn't intend to sin, so therefore he doesn't need, or Hashem wants to give him an opportunity to achieve that kapara without having to lose any of his olam haba. So karbanos are that great gift. They allow a person to achieve the kapara. Now, how this happens exactly, how does the karban do that? The Ramban explains al pisod how it does that. We don't really understand. But somehow or another, the Ramban says that the karbanos cause kapara, and in that sense, they're an incredible gift. Now, the Ramban here tells us that in the absence of karbanos, so there needs to be another means to achieve that kapara for those accidental chataim. And that's what Yisurin, and specifically Yisurin Shel Ava, are referring to. They're a form of Ava, as the Ramban will explain later. They're a gift, they're love, an expression of Hashem's love. because they're an expression of his love insofar as he gives us the opportunity to achieve kapara for these averos without having to lose a chelak or a part of our chelak in Olam Haba. Now, is it all averos? So it's very interesting because we know you only bring a karban chatas for a lav sheish bo kares. A person, let's say, eats nevela by accident, they don't need to bring a karban chatas. And the Ramban implies that that might be because specifically it's the averos chamuros that need, that for which tshuva alone might not be sufficient, and therefore they need this added level of kapara, which is either through the karban or through yisurin. Whereas the kilkol hanefesh, right, a more chamor avera is reflected in a more chamor onesh, creates more of a kilkol, and therefore more of a need for kapara. So less chamor averos perhaps don't need that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore, is not mechayev a karban chatas for other averos. Other sources, and if so, so the fact that the Ramban, in his example here, chose chelev is very meduyak. In other words, he didn't say nevela or trefa. Most machalos asuros aren't chiyuvei kares. Because it's dafka in the realm of chiyuvei kares, which this is necessary. Other sources point out that there might be a certain timtum alev for all machalos asuros. Gemara in Shabbos, Mesil Sham discusses this, more so than perhaps other lavin. Anyway, that's the first reason for Yisurin Shel Abba. V'aladerech hazeh hutam chei tashkaga b'chol haTorah. The Ode. Now, this is the second reason. Shekol davar aser mechalkel milachlech hanefesh umetameosah dechsev v'nitmesem bon. Lefikach nikra shogeg chote. There's another aspect. And the Ramban here implies that even if a person did an avera, let's say they ate that chelev, without any negligence whatsoever. Zero. They went ahead, they went to a kosher butcher, who, as far as everybody could tell, is a big Yari Shemayim, and they got their meat there, and whatever it is, somehow or another, without really any negligence on their part, they consumed chelev. So the Ramban says still something is necessary. Why? Because kol davar ha'asur, here implies this is true for everything. We said before, maybe it's just Yisurei Kares. I don't think it means it's only Yisurei Kares, though it's much more pronounced in Yisurei Kares. But really, kol davar ha'asur, anything asur, is milach le'chanefesh. It somehow taints the soul umetameosa. Now, what does he mean? When the Torah prohibits averos, it's not random, it's not haphazard, it's not just a means of instilling obedience. Rather, that reflects the fact that these actions are, at the very least, metaphysically harmful for us. And that's true even if we violate them without any merida, and even without any negligence. Kadosh Baruch Hu asert chelev because, though we can't really understand why or how, chelev is harmful. Memela, if a person consumes chelev, even if it's done without any intent, so they're going to be harmed. And that's why we have korbanos, and that's why we have yisurin, as he's about to explain. To be misakein for that kilkol nefesh. This idea, not all Rishonim agree to it, but is probably the Ran writes, it's the predominant view among Rishonim. And therefore, a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wants to give this opportunity, that's again why we called it Yisurin Shel Abba, to allow a person to not lose out on because of this action. Lamashal. A person goes ahead and through no negligence of their own, they eat something that's spoiled. So they're going to get sick. And it doesn't matter that it wasn't negligent. It's not like they left the food out of the refrigerator and it spoiled and they waited 2 weeks before they ate it. No, there's no negligence whatsoever. Somebody else's fault entirely. But still, you get sick. So the Ramban here indicates that the same thing is true with respect to Averos. Lefikach nikra shogeg chote. Afal pichein. Eina shogeg roi lehe anesh ashkagasa begehenim uver shachas. So it's not fitting that a person be punished in Gehenim for such an Avera, because after all, there was no intention to do wrong, in fact, not even negligence. Elishu tzarech miruk me'oso avon. He needs cleansing from that sin. Ulihiskadesh ulihitaher mimenu kadeshi roi lamala hahogenes lamaisa vatomvim ba'olam habas. He will be fitting for his Mila that he has actually worked to achieve in Olam Haba. Meaning to say as follows. Olam Haba, maybe we'll have a chance to talk about this in the coming weeks, is also to some degree at least, naturalistic, at least in the metaphysical sense. What we mean to say is as follows. A person who has been misaking their nefesh will naturally be able to experience the spiritual pleasure, whatever that is, it's very hard for us to relate to, but the spiritual pleasure, that's part of Olam Haba. And a person who has not been misaking their nefesh will not. And a person who has been mekalkel their nefesh, even if it's entirely by accident, will not fully be able to experience that spiritual existence, because, after all, their soul is tainted to some degree. They've been harmed. They ate that spoiled food. So, Memela Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to give a person a opportunity to correct that. And that is what the Karban does. And in the absence of Karbanos, that is what Yisurin Shel Ahava do. Now, the impression you get from here, as well as from the writings of probably most of our Chachamim that at least were associated with the mystical tradition, is that there's a world, a spiritual world that exists and has rules and the like. It's not just like Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, you die, and Hashem says, well, look, you tried very hard, yeah, have a lot of Olam Haba. Now, one could ask, is that fair? And why is that? And the like. It's a very good question. And Bezras Hashem, when we talk more about Olam Haba, we'll try to elaborate on this point. Back to the Ramban. Lefikach, Chas HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Amo ve'al Chasidav ve'nasam lam ha-karbanos l'skaper b'hen ha-shkago. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had compassion on us. He gave us karbanos to be mechaper on shkago. So k'she'en beis ha-mikdash, Kaya Mishalech Alem Yisurin Lamarek Mehen Osan Shkagos Uliskaper Yisurin Kede Liosan Nikim Olam Haba, which is why the Gemara says a person should be Samech Yisurin, because they're really an incredible gift insofar as they allow a person to be Naki Liolam Haba. Kshem Shakarbanus Ava V'chemla Yisrael Ulikarvan Tachas Kanfe Ashchina Shenamar Ulas Tamid L'Dorosechem Pesach Ol Moed L'fnei Hashem Asher Iva'ed L'chem Shama. So at the end of the day, even these Yisurin, even what we call Yisurin Shel Ava, are always for Kapara and Mirok HaChet. The Ramban then brings another interesting riot to that. We'll skip a couple paragraphs to where it's bigger. The Ramban there discusses the Hemshech of the Gemara. There are different types of Yisurin. There's Yisurin Shel Ava and not Shel Ava. And what's the difference? And the Gemara basically says that Yisurin Shel Ava are Yisurin that don't cause a person to be Mevatel Torah and the like. And that's also a form, a reflection of their being of love. Some Yisurin, what happens, person goes ahead, and maybe they do averos, so they have to get yisurin, right? Those yisurin are not just punishments, but they'll prevent them from learning, from doing more mitzvos. Schar mitzvah mitzvah, schar veira veira, like the Rambam says. And therefore, for certain types of yisurin, will not be yisurin shalava. Why? Yisurin that go ahead and prevent a person from being able to learn. They eat up all of his time. Person, his car is totaled, and he has to go to court, and he has to go to this, and he goes hours and hours, days and days of lost time. Ayvei. So that's not yisurin shalava. Why? Because that must have been from an avera he did. Whereas these yisurin shalava are going to be the tribulations that a person experiences, but throughout the whole process of those tribulations, he hasn't been or needed to be mevatel Torah, and that's therefore a reflection of this avah. And he brings an interesting raya for this idea. The Gemara, this is in the left column where it says Perchelek, records a story about how when Rabbi Eliezer was sick, he was suffering, and his students came to visit him. This was at the end of his life, and they began to cry, seeing his pain, and Rabbi Akiva began to laugh. So he said, Akiva, mipnei ma tam misachek? Amr lahem, mipnei ma tam bochen? Amr lo, efshar sefer Torah b'tzar v'lo nivka? Amr lahem, lekach ani misachek, shekol zman shani ro'eh, Rabbi, she'ein yeno machmetz, ve'ein pishtano loka, ve'ein shimno mavish, ve'ein duvshano madvish, amarti shemachas v'shalom kibol Rabbi olamu. Rabbi Akiva says, when I saw your Rabbi Eliezer, and everything was always going great for you, your wine never spoiled, amamish, everything was gishmak. So I thought, shemachas v'shalom kibol olamu. Ah, now I see that you're bitzar. I'm so happy. I see Baruch Hashem. Lo kibel olamcha. You're not going to. You'll still get olam haba. You won't lose your olam haba due to the averos you might have done. So he says, "What do you mean? How do you know I did averos? Right? Amar lo akiva klum chasarti min hatayra klum. Amar lo limaditanu rabenu ki ein adam." Ki Adam ein tzadik ba'arta shayasta lo yachta. Okay, so what is he saying? What's going on here? So he's saying, look, you. Let's. Everybody sins sometimes, even you, right? Ein Adam ba'arta shayasta lo yachta. So if a person goes ahead and experiences no suffering whatsoever in their life, they're shielded, they're protected, even from everyday suffering, like wine occasionally turning into vinegar. So the only explanation for that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to protect them from all suffering in this world so as to detract from their olam haba, so that they get their schar for their mitzvos in this world. If you remember, a couple of weeks ago, we saw the Gemara that was in Erechin on Tez Zayin that said that anyone that 40 days has passed without yisurin kol she'avu alav arbaim yom below yisurin kibel olamo. Anyone who's spared, the Gemara says, from the smallest annoyances in life. Even things like shoes never untie, and he always pulls out the right change from his pocket. So kibel olamo. What's the idea? The idea is, again, because everybody sins sometimes. So everybody, only a Rasha Gamor, the Ramban says, would be spared from all forms of Yisurin. And why? Because HaKadosh Baruch, not a Rasha Gamor, Rasha. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give them the schar in Olam Hazeh. And the Ramban then continues, I'm going to say a little bit outside because we didn't get to the main points yet. The Ramban distinguishes between two types of suffering that a person might experience in this world. Ordinary aches and pains, what he calls HaHovim B'Noheg Shel Olam V'Aba'in Al Kol Adam. things that, you see that phrase is bolded, bottom of page one. The normal aches and pains that people experience, you go ahead and if you stand in the sun, you're waiting for a bus in the summer and you're standing in the sun for a half hour, so you'll get a headache, right? And only a Russia is going to be spared from such suffering. Even tzaddikim will not be spared. And then the second is unusual suffering, what he calls yisur and mamish, such as sickness and the like. And those are meant to atone for sin. So, right, we'll just read that last bolded line. Vina inyan ze acherhu eno mina yisurin shemishtanin bahen bnei adam ze mizeh berov aval yisurin mamish lo lamanu ben yisurin ela lekapara. So the first form of yisurin, the ordinary aches and pains that a person experiences, hahovim binoheg shel olam, so those things are things that nobody is spared from. And then, except for, again, the Rasha Gamor. And then, there are the second class of yisurin, unusual yisurin, that are bayin al kapara. So far, from Ramban, is there such a thing as suffering without sin? Answer is yes. The noheg sheba olam, the idea that when you're in the sun you get a headache. But besides those things, anything unusual like a sickness or the like, that's always due to sin. Either it's going to be a direct punishment for a sin, or it might be yisurin shel ava. But one way or the other, they wouldn't happen without a sin. The Ramban then continues, I put it in small print because we're not going to read it, he discusses the idea of nisyonos, and the Ramban outlines a number of reasons, basically, why the righteous might suffer. And here he turns to the problem of evil, the idea that, of course, the suffering that we see righteous people experience seems to be incompatible with the existence of a fair, just, benevolent God who's all-powerful and all-knowing. So there are a number of reasons why the righteous might suffer, the Ramban explains. It might be atonement, either in the form of retribution or in the form of cleansing the soul, as we discussed. It might be ordinary aches and pains, as we discussed. He says perhaps it's to show the world the extent of their love and devotion to God, and the fact that they remain loyal despite sometimes experiencing agony. This is one of the causes for Nisayon. If you want to see that, that's in the slightly big print, top of page 2, top right. Nimsa ha-Nisayon hazeh mida tova she'adam mekabel boschar v'shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu mis'ala b'kach lo dia ad heichan tagia avaso v'yiraso b'lev avadav ve Heach nimshachim achar mitzvasav ve'onshav ritzono kirtzonam, right? Es asher yav Hashem yochiach, and the like. So that's another type of suffering. Again, it's not like Rashi said, it's just you're punished to get more reward, but it serves a particular purpose, namely to teach the world about the nature of bitachon. And the Ramban here, in the paragraph beginning, Kederach, likewise offers a number of explanations for the prosperity of the wicked. Number one, to reward him in this world for the good deeds that he's done. Number two, due to the merit of his ancestors. Number three, sometimes Hashem grants long life to the wicked to give them an opportunity to repent and the like. And then he notes there are some Geonim who hold of a fourth reason. He grants prosperity to the wicked to test them or to challenge them or to challenge the faith and the commitment of other people. Writes Nimtza, it's interesting. If you look, the Ramban here writes that this is Anshei Tarmis. He calls them it's people of deception because they use their success, the success of the wicked, is an excuse to justify their wicked ways. Anyway, this will sometimes, Hashem will cause temporal success for the wicked, so as to cause others, those who don't really have faith, to wonder whether or not it's worthwhile to pursue good. Right, he writes over here, if you just see it, Umina Gaonim Zal Shamrak Shakosh Barhu Posek Shalval Rishaim Lanasus Pan Anche Aresha Vatarmis Shiyu Mischazkin Birisham the Omrim Hine Ela Rishaim Vishalve Olam Hisigu Chayil Ach Shav Avod Elohim Uma Betza Ki Nishmor Briso Ubarcha Yode Ames. In other words, this idea isn't in Chazal or in Psukim, but this is a idea of the Gaonim. Okay, so having explained then on why on occasion the righteous suffer and why the wicked prosper, Ramban thus wonders the following question. Why is it that so many of the prophets go ahead and wonder why this is true? Right, take a look in the paragraph beginning Kuf Yud Ches. Vim Tishav Tomar, Harei Shetiknu Chachamim Devarim Halalu Lefi Kabbalasan Lefi Hachrei Apsukei HaTorah VaNeviim Imkein Mahu Ze Shanaviim Tzavachim Al HaInyan Hazeh Umahu Shetama Yirmiya Al Rishayim Tzadik Ata Hashem Ki Ariv Eilecha Ach Mishpatecha Daber, etc., etc. He quotes many psukim, Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Asaf. The Ramban says, I don't understand. I just told you why the righteous suffer. I just told you why the tzaddik, why Rishayim prosper. Why is it that the prophets again and again are perplexed by this? Right? The Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu asked this question to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered, Tzaddik Sheinu Gamor, Rasha Sheinu Gamor, the tzaddikim that suffer because of the mixes of errors that they did, and the Rishon that prosper because of the mix of zechuyos that they have. Shine! The answer is simple. What is Yirmiyahu screaming about? Right? And not only that, we think the matter is so simple. Chazal themselves say, Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Ein Biyadeinu Shalvas HaRishayim, Af Lo Misurei Tzadikim. We don't understand it. We can't understand it. What do you mean we can't understand it? It's so simple. So the Ramban says the following. To address this question, we have to look back at a passage in the Gemara, you have it in your Makoros from several weeks ago that we discussed, in which there was a machlokas in the Gemara as to whether there's such a thing as misa below chait. If you recall, Reb Ami says, no, ain misa below chait, ain yisurin below chait. All suffering is the result of sin. And the implication is that someone who has never sinned will never suffer. The Gemara, though, concludes that this is wrong. And it seems to refute his position. We noticed earlier that the Rambam remarkably accepts Rav Ami's position. We discussed at the time why he does so. But the Ramban reads the Gemara Kapshuto that Rav Ami's rejected. And he says, he's Mesupik, interestingly enough, he says that there is such a thing as misa blochet. The Gemara does not refute Reb Ami with respect to Yisurin, meaning to say maybe there's no such thing as Yisurin blochet. Why would Yisurin be different than misa? I think the pshat is because, let's say somebody was never chote. So when they die, like, death isn't so bad, right? They're going on to a better place. They're not going to suffer. They're not going to be punished. Whereas Yisurin, that's much more difficult to explain. How could you have Yisurin below chait? But he says, one way or the other, it's not clear. We definitely, the Maskan of the Gemara is there's such a thing as Misa below chait. Now again, Misa below chait means that this individual has not been chote. He dies without having been chote. Or his chataim do not justify his Misa. There's Misa in the world because of chait, right? Like the Gemara there says, it's because of the chait of the Nachash HaKadmoni, that there's Misa Ba'olam, but it means that they die due to that chait, meaning say not their own chait, Adam Rishon's chait. So, definitely, the Ramban says, the Maskan of the Gemara is there such a thing as Misa Lochait. People die, even though they don't deserve to die. It's a natural consequence, like we said, of the kilkel that came to the world due to the chait of Adam Rishon. And maybe, he's unsure of the Ramban, there's Yisurin below chait also. He says there the Gemara is inconclusive. Maybe yes, maybe no. But either way, the Ramban notes that Chazal debate the matter. Likewise, there's another Talmudic passage where this matter is debated. In this case, the first opinion is unnamed, we'll call him the Tanakama, says that all suffering is the result of sin. And here, Remeir disagrees. Remeir says, no, we can't fathom the cause for suffering. Let's take a look. This is... Yeah. At top, page 2, bottom right. V'amru b'brachos, b'kesh Moshe l'odia d'rachav. V'nasan lo, sh'nemar, hodieni nas d'rachecha. Amar l'fanu b'bonu shal olam. Ma'i yesh tzadik v'tovlo, tzadik v'ralo, rosh v'tovlo, rosh v'ralo. Amar lo kodesh baruch lo Moshe, tzadik v'tovlo, tzadik gamor, tzadik v'ralo, tzadik sh'enu gamor, rosh v'tovlo, rosh sh'enu gamor, rosh v'ralo, rosh gamor. Right? When we say that tzaddikim suffer, that's because tzaddik sheinu gamor, and that's yisur and shalava lezakoso. O lavido lolam haba, with Rishayim. The lashon acher amru, b'tzaddik v'tolo, tzaddik ben tzaddik. Tzaddik v'ralo, tzaddik ben rasha. For now we won't explain that, but it's important also. Maybe we'll get back to that. V'amru gemara, pligid v'mer! But the gemara says... That explanation is against Remeir. D'tana mishmed Remeir. Shalo nitnu l'moshe amida shenemar v'chanos yis asher achon afal pishenu hagun. No. No. It's not so simple. It's not true. You can't simply explain the suffering, all suffering, as a result of sin. V'chanosi afal pishenu achon. V'chamti Es asher arachem, the pasuk's telling him us afal pi she'eno hagun. Kaloimar, she'eno hagun, we're at the top left, page 2. She'afal pi she'eno hagun ledas b'nei adam. Meaning b'nei adam. Of course, there's a reason. But it's a reason that nobody could understand. Lomar shelo nimsira hamida zu ledaito shel adam. A person cannot understand sometimes why there is suffering. It's inexplicable. So then he says, "V'ine kfiyas far rishona, according to the Tanakam, according to Ami, that ain yisurin below chait, ain misa below chait, hakol betam yadua v'tayne museges. Everything is simple, pashut. V'zeh she'omrim anaviim bedavar zeh uma she'tzavachin al inyan ainu ela kedivri achoyla she'mitzdar al cholyo maflik becheskas acholi v'tzoyik al toykef atzar v'akeiv." So now let's go back to our question. We asked a minute ago, why is it that the Nevi'im, the greatest tzaddikim, they ask, why do the righteous suffer? So if you learn like the first Mahalech, it's Pashut. So why are they, everything is understood. Everything makes sense. So why are they screaming? He says, these aren't intellectual questions. Intellectually, they understand. This is an emotional response. Sometimes when you're in pain, you cry out in agony. You say, why? It doesn't make sense. Crying doesn't make you feel better necessarily. But that's the way of people. So the questions of the Nevi'im reflect not an intellectual question. Not that there's something that they don't understand, but simply a human response to seeing the suffering of other people. But, he says, if you learn... like the maskana of the Gemara, like Remeir, like the maskana of the first Gemara. So then, itaka is a question. Because there are things that we don't understand. There are things that even the greatest Nevi'im can't understand. And the Ramban informs us that this is really the correct Mahalich. There are things that can't be understood. He explains the Gemara Menachos based off of this, which relates that Moshe Rabbeinu was first shown the incredible Tzidkus and Chachma of Rabbi Akiva, and he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's going to be the reward for Rabbi Akiva? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows the flesh of Rabbi Akiva being combed with iron combs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Akiva's terrible, terrible death. And Moshe says to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Zu Torah v'zu Schara. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, Shtok. Kach ala b'machshava lefanei. Quiet. This is what I have in mind. What does he mean? It means that you can't understand that. Even you, Moshe Rabbeinu, can't possibly understand what's going on here. In other words, this is the view of Reb Meir. In Achinami, it's not, Rabbi Akiva's suffering was not because of his sins. There's nothing, Rabbi Akiva might have sinned, Ein Tzadik Baretz. But whatever he did could not possibly justify having your skin combed while you're alive. And Ramban continues. He says that's exactly what's going on in the story of Eov. Eov's suffering was certainly incommensurate with whatever he might have done. The Satan himself testifies that Eov hasn't sinned. So what's going on? And then the Ramban goes ahead, and again, I'm going to have to say this outside because we're running out of time, but he goes through a whole explanation of the book of Eov. He does so more about Rechos and his parish on Eov, but here he goes through the whole thing. And as you all know the story, Eov suffers. He has three friends that come and visit him. They're not maybe the best friends. Eov says, why is this happening to me? His friends say, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just, so Memela, you must have done something wrong. Eov says, that can't be. I know I didn't do anything wrong. Must be Hashem isn't just. They tell him, you're being a Rasha, what are you talking about? Okay, things aren't going so well. Then, after a while, starting in chapter 32, long while, Eliyahu shows up. And Eliyahu has this whole long monologue in which he's angry at the friends. He's angry at Eov. And he somehow resolves the question because he gives an answer that Eov accepts. But it's not clear what he's saying. The whole thing doesn't make sense. This section is especially cryptic. But it's clear he's saying something new, but it's not so obvious from the psukim what he's saying that is new. Very similar to the other speeches. But again, clearly there's something new. Eov accepts it. Eov says, ah, now I understand. Right? When Eliyahu first comes, the first thing he does, Vaychar af Eliyahu be-rachal, Eliyahu be-rachal, Ram, be-Eov, chara apo, al tidko nafshom Elohim. So first he gets angry at the friends, at Eov, because he thought himself to be more righteous than God. And then he gets angry at the friends. V'shloshes re'av chara po ad asher lo matzu ma'aneh v'yershu'es Eov. He gets angry at the friends for condemning Eov. And l'chora, the Ramban says, this doesn't make any sense. L'chora, there's only two options, right? Either Eov deserved to suffer, as the friends claimed, or he did not, as Eov maintained. But Eliyahu says they're both wrong. The friends are wrong. Eov's wrong. But where's the third option? So the Ramban tells us that Eliyahu is revealing a great secret. One that only very few people know, only those with the correct tradition. And the Ramban writes, you can't write this secret explicitly, because as we discussed earlier, it's aser to be Megala Sodos, Gemara Chagiga. And you can't even hint to it, he writes. He says, hinting to it won't even help. Right? If you take a look, we're now on page 3. Starting from Behine Elihu on the right column is discussing what I was just saying. He writes, Vatira says, it won't even help. Vatira Eov, Misha Shashama Divrei Elihu B'tshuva Ahi, She'inyana Morah Shehu Inyan Chadash, Ve'eno Dome Lema'aneh Chavei Rav. Ukemosha amru velo arach elav milin uveimrechem lo ashivenu lo pasach piv lanos vihine ze yo reshekibel dvarav vayu atainos haheim maspikos l'sheilosav. All of Eov's shailas were answered by Eliyahu. Achekibel elav mehan ashtika v'kach amru lo Yesh Milan Hashivani. But what did he say? He says a little later, the Kvarbo Divrei Eliyu Stumin Medivrei Chaveirav Kulam. It's the most obscure. V'inyan Prushim Sosum Me'od. Umisha lo yifata es da'ato v'yasis v'aso lo yimza bahem lo b'chol mashin nisparish mehen b'idei mefarshe ha'mikra davaroi. Look at all the mefarshim on Eov. You will be left unsatisfied because you won't have a clue what is going on, what changes. Otaina guna mechudeshes medivrei chaveir mahim. Avahu misodos ha'torah shene'alamu. Levad min hazochin lahem min ha'kabalah. V'aperush bahen asur b'michtav. V'haremez, Ovid HaToelis, there's no point anyway in revealing it. I assume he means, because even if I give you a remez, you're not going to figure it out. Whatever remez I give, the type of remez that's mutter won't even help. You can only understand and know it if you have the Kabbalah. So what is it? I'm going to tell you. So, the truth is that if I was just working with the Ramban, I would also have no idea what he's talking about. But the Mefarshe Ramban, even a couple generations later, all reveal the secret. Very interesting question. If we have time, we'll talk about what happened. Two generations later, the Rikanti, Rabbeinu Bachya, they all explain what he means in straightforward words. If you have the Chevelle edition, it's all quoted in the footnotes. He's referring here to the idea of Gilgul Neshamos. How do you see it, by the way, in the Psukim? Is there any remez to it? So, there are. If you take a look at the Psukim on page, the next page, on page 4, you'll see how actually it is merumas in the Psukim. A little bit, right? I'm just going to read the English. He is gracious to the sufferer. He says, redeem him from descending to the pit. I have found ransom. His flesh will be more tender than in childhood. He will be restored to the days of the youth. Behold, God does all these twice and thrice with man to bring back his soul from the pit of enlightened, from the pit to be enlightened with the light of the living. It's referring to the soul coming back a second time in the second guf, and that is the explanation that's given. Now, let's take a look at the Ramban explaining this yisod a little bit. Afal pi, Cain. Im ha'alama hazu, yesh betayin hazo, sod nimsar l'anshei ha'torah v'akabalim, hu ramuz b'divrei rabosenu v'nechlal b'inyan sod ha'ibor. So what is this sod? This is known as the sod ha'ibor. Sod ha'ibor is very interesting. Generally, the Pashup Shad in the Gemara, when it refers to the sod ha'ibor, is that it's talking about the secrets of the cheshbonos, of how you know when to make a leap year, and Kiddush HaChodesh, and Ibor Shana, and the like. But says, if you look more carefully, you'll see it's not like there's much more going on here. Why he calls it Ibor, if we have time, we'll explain. Shechachamim Moshe Nosol L'Tamideim HaReuyin. The Chachamim transmitted this secret to those worthy. V'hu Chuvaso Shel Elihu Al Tochachtav Shel Iov. V'ati Yodea Shaya Iov Tzadikamor Be'enav, at least Be'enav, V'ayu Yisurin Shelo Al Chet V'Abeira Lefi Da'ato Ad Sheyeh Korei Tagar Alem K'mo Shizkarnu. The Ramban refers to this in a number of places, in his Perashan Iov, in his Perashan Koheles, in a couple of times in his Perashan Torah when referring to the mitzvah of Yibum. If we have a chance, we'll explain that. And many later thinkers developed this idea, the Arizal at length, but it's also in earlier sources. In the Sefer HaBahir, explains why Tzadik V'Ralo is based off of Gilgul Neshamos. The Zohar discusses it frequently. And as I mentioned, even though the Ramban felt that you couldn't even say the idea, he had to refer to it as the Sod HaIbor, but now everybody knows about it. The Mishnah Berurah frequently refers to Gilgul Neshamos. Transition, I guess we won't have time to talk about today. It is important to note that not all Jewish thinkers accepted the concept of reincarnations. Sadia Gaon in Emunos Fideos, Rabbi Yosef Albo in the Sefer Ikrim, and others rejected the concept, but most of the Chachamim who had the Kabbalah did accept it, including the Gra and others. We alluded to the fact that there are mitzvot that are associated with it, like Yibum, right? And oftentimes, the mystical concepts are actually the simplest reading of the psukim, right? Consider the pasuk, Bo al eshes achicha biabei mosa v'akem zera l'achicha, or v'aya b'chor asher teled yakum al shem achiv ha'meis v'lo yimcha shmo miyisrael. The idea is that when you do Yibum, the child that's born from that Yibum union will be a Gilgal of the deceased brother, and the Mela, he'll have that Hemshech. And that's why the ceremony of Chalitza involves mourning things like taking off the shoes, because the failure to bring that life into the world warrants additional mourning. The Gra explains that the idea of Gilgal Neshamos is alluded to in the idea in Chazal of Mazel. Take a look at page 4. Gemara here, Moed Katan Chaf Ches. Amar Rava Chaye Bane Umezone Lo Bezchus Atalya Milsa Ela B'Mazel Atalya Milsa. Certain things like lifespan, children, mazonos, income are not Tali Bezchus, but they're Tali and Mazel. Now obviously that doesn't mean that it's always Tali. The Rashba here in the source that follows points out there are many psukim that talk about how lifespan, how mazonos, how children are actually tali b'schusa. What the Gemara means, and we could talk about it another time, barichos, I guess we don't have time now, is that there are some times when the only way to explain this is to say it relates to mazel. And that's the story in the Gemara. The Gemara records how Rav and Rav Chisda were both great tzaddikim, equally great tzaddikim, and yet Rav Chisda had a very pleasant life. Everything went well for him. And Rabbah had mamish, a life full of yisurin. How do you explain the difference? The answer is mazel. Now you'll tell me one second, in mazel Yisrael. Right. It's actually a debate in the Gemara, but there's an opinion that's in Mazel Yisrael. If you look at that Gemara itself at the end of Shabbos, it's clear. That doesn't mean there's no such thing as Mazel. It means Mazel could generally be overcome, perhaps, by extraordinary Maisim. And what this Gemara is telling us is sometimes not even that. So what is Mazel? Doesn't seem to make much sense, right? Somebody goes ahead. They have a tough life. So the Gemara is telling us why. Mazel. What's Mazel? Look at the Gra. Misha Yerasha Begilgal Rishon. The response to Tzadik V'Ralo is Mazel. Which is exactly what we saw in Ramban. Now let's try to explain this idea of Mazel very briefly in a way that perhaps we could understand it a little better. What's the yesod of Gilgal and what's the yesod of Mazel? Take a look. I'm going to summarize the sources. You can see them in the Rav Dessler afterwards. The Rizal explains that the idea of a Gilgal is that a person who, in their first instantiation, is not able to fulfill their potential, there are certain things that they didn't do. So they haven't been fully misake in their nefesh, in which case, ultimately, when there's Olam Haba, they won't be able to fully experience it. So, as a matana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them a chance to be misakein that. The way the Ari puts it is, they weren't able to be mekayim the Taryag Mitzvos the first time. And a Gilgal is like a second chance. Now, what does this mean? And what does this have to do with Mazel? The idea of Mazel is that a person has a certain mission, a certain tafkin in life. And a person's always given the tools to be memali, that tafkin. And perhaps the tafkid, what's the basis for their tafkid? It might relate to their shorosh haneshama, but it also could relate to a certain job that needs to still be fulfilled that hasn't yet been fulfilled. That's why the Sfarim say that when it comes to suffering that begins when a person's born, or when they're a kid, Right? There's no other way to explain the suffering of a kid who has never sinned except through Mazel, except through Gilgal. And the Yesod is that they need to be misakein a particular thing. Let's imagine a person gets a disease. So how do you explain it? So one possibility is it's an onesh. Kaddish, they've done something wrong. They've made certain poor choices. Kaddish Baruch Hu is sending them the disease to either to punish them or to wake them up so that they live a better life, to arouse them from their slumber. Or it's possible that this is their tafkid. Their tafkid is to be Oved Hashem mitoch Yisurin, to show the world that you could still be an Oved Hashem despite having such Yisurin. And a person is given the tools always to be mashlim their tafkid. And that's what mazel is. Mazel is things that you get. Lav b'schusa. It's not reactive. Sometimes, the first example, a person gets sick, that's reactive. They did certain choices, and Hashem reacts to that and gives them that sickness. That's not what mazel is. Mazel is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving them the tools that they need to be mazel in their tafkid. And oftentimes, the particular tafkid a person might have in this life is because this is a tikkun that they need to make for something that in their past life. Now you could say, well, it's not fair, right? It's not fair. I didn't do anything wrong. Why am I suffering? Because of that guy who lived 200 years ago. Obviously, that reflects our incorrect understanding, which is that all we are is what we are. Now, that makes sense why we think that way, because most people aren't really in touch with their previous Gilgulim. They don't remember what happened. But fundamentally, who we are is our soul. And Memela, the idea of Gilgulim, is that it gives that opportunity to be mashlim whatever chesronos are left. Now, all these ideas are indeed very hard to understand. And certainly they're beyond us. I want to conclude with one point that the Ramban makes at the very end. And that's in page 4 of the Im Tishal. Ramban, after spending dozens of pages talking about why the righteous suffer, why the wicked prosper, ultimately says, you know, you're not going to understand this. You're not going to understand. The problem of Tzadik V'Ra'lo, as we saw, even the greatest prophet couldn't understand. So, ultimately, we have to accept and believe in divine justice and providence despite its sometimes inexplicability. So, V'im Tomar, see the last paragraph we have over here. V'im Tishal, Aleinu Kevan Shiesh Inyan Ne'elam B'Mishpat. There's something we mamish can't understand. V'nitzarech Lamin B'Tzidko Mitzad HaShofet HaEmes Yisparach V'Yisal. Even after you know whatever Gilgulim mean, you're still... You're not going to be satisfied. You'll never be satisfied. A person goes ahead and they see Nebuch Mamish, a kid, suffering. You're never going to feel like you understand the answer of how and why. So if we can't understand it anyway, we have to say, in the end of the day, I don't know. I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a tzaddik v'yashar, a racham v'chanun, and I don't understand this. But it's true. So if that's going to be your final conclusion, Lama tatriach osanu v'titzav ve'aleinu lo moratayinu shepirashnu v'asot sheramaznu. Why didn't we write 20 pages of material to discuss this question? You know, you could have saved me a lot of time. I know you have a question. Let me tell you, in the end of the day, you're never going to have an answer that you're satisfied with. You're not going to understand it. Just trust. Just have emunah, because you can't understand it. So what do you need 20 pages of discussion for? V'lo nashlich hakol al asmach shenasa b'sof. You're going to have to say in the end of the day, everything is mishpat. Yes, you referred to this in the first semester. That taina, that, well, you know, since you're not going to understand it in any way, why are you even bothering? That is the attitude of fools who despise wisdom. Ki no il atzmeinu belimud Shizkarnu liosenu chachamim v'yodeh elokim yisbarach midarach hakel umimasav. First of all, one must try to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the extent possible. And all of what we learned today helps us have a better understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Hashgachaso, in the world. And even if in the end of the day we don't understand everything, that doesn't mean that there's no toeles in understanding whatever we can't understand. Lo alacham lacha ligmor, but still, lo ata ben chori lihipater mimena. Va'od niyem ma'aminim uvotchem be'emunasem benodav uvenelam yosem yisilosenu. Plus, we'll know more than everybody else. Ki nilmod sasam na'mefurish leida yosher adin v'tzedek ha'mishpat. L'maisa, the bitachon the person has after they learn this will still be stronger than the person that just doesn't know anything and just says, oh yeah, I trust. And therefore it's a chova. This is what we were doing today. It's a chova to try to understand, and everybody to try to understand to the extent possible. The heim hadrachim shepirashnu midarkei chachamim. Kidei shetityashev da'ato binyan v'yis ames elav din bor'o kimatzdik mashiyasigu. V'yakir v'yadin, v'yakir hadin v'atzedek v'meshu ne'elam imenu. V'kol shekein shetainas asod, ha'nizkar lo tashir midas ha'adam kushya. Sounds like here, if you do understand the asod, you really won't have any questions. V'lo timtza imo ta'ana maspekes b'shum panim. But even if you don't understand the asod, even if you're left with a mystery, you're still much better off knowing as much as you can. V'im yirtza lasim, lasim Shum machshavaso katbekan, hu rishai mepneshem tainos maspikos l'chol hanhagas avu. All right, with this, I think we'll have to stop the topic as much as we can go on for on and on. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos.